This is 89.1 KUAR. I'm Michael Heplin. Today is the first full day of deliberations by a federal jury considering bribery charges against a former Arkansas lawmaker. Closing arguments were presented Friday in the trial of Gilbert Baker, who is accused of being the middleman of an alleged plot to bribe a Faulkner County judge to reduce a damage award against a nursing home owner. Joining me is reporter Deborah Hell Shelton, who has been covering the federal trial for the Arkansas Nonprofit News Network. Thanks for talking with me.
You're welcome.
There's a lot for the 12 jurors to consider after nearly 2 weeks of testimony. This case goes back to 2013, when former Circuit Judge Michael Maggio was hearing the negligence lawsuit against Michael Morton regarding a death at his nursing home in Greenbrier. Maggio is currently serving a 10-year prison sentence after pleading guilty to bribery. He testified in this trial. What did he say about what occurred with Baker?
Maggio's testimony for the government was clearly intended to show that he says Baker bribed him and he accepted that bribe. Maggio, however, wasn't the strongest of witnesses because he seemed a bit reluctant to outright say he bribed me or I took a bribe. And that's, as we know, partly Maggio has changed his story back and forth over the years, from admitting he did it to trying to withdraw a guilty plea. So in his testimony, he tried to explain that he originally pled not guilty because there wasn't the traditional little black bag the public has in their mind filled with money that he took in exchange for doing a favor for someone. Later, he said he realized that wasn't the case. You didn't have to have a black bag full of money. And of course, Maggio, being a former judge and lawyer for some time, that seemed a tad outlandish.
Yeah.
But he wavered somewhat, but he did, under direct examination by the prosecutor, repeatedly say he took a bribe.
Maggio eventually reduced a $5.2 million judgment to $1 million. The assistant U.S. attorney, Julie Peters, said that came after the money was routed through political action committees, something Morton had never done before.
Right. The prosecution sought to show that when Morton donated even larger sums of money to campaigns, that he did so directly as if he were not trying to hide that, as in the case of Arkansas Supreme Court Justice Rhonda Wood when she was first running for the Supreme Court. But so he tried to show that this was not characteristic of Morton. And when the prosecution asked Morton why he did it this special way for Mike Maggio, Morton said, "That's the way Gilbert Baker wanted me to do it." Morton was very calm in his testimony. And whether you believe him or not, he's never changed his story over the years. And so he actually came across as a credible witness, no matter, I think, which side you might have started out on.
Compared to Maggio, who you said was changing his testimony, what did Baker's attorney, Blake Hendricks, say during closing arguments about Maggio's credibility?
He took strong aim at that lack of credibility. He pointed out that former U.S. attorney Cody Hyland, who used to be a prosecutor in the Conway area, had testified that Maggio had an untruthful reputation in the area. Blake Hendricks also pointed out that Maggio, based on witness testimony, had opted to run for the appeals court, state appeals court, rather than his current judgeship because he didn't think the locals would reelect him. So he was going to spread out the voter pool more so, because they knew him better, obviously, than people outside this area. And even though Blake Hendricks has twice argued that this should be a bench trial because of its legal complexities. During closing arguments, he said the case was actually a simple one that the prosecutors were trying to complicate with things about the PACs and things about the time when you can legally or not legally donate to judicial candidates. And he said he's not charged with violating campaign laws. And so he was saying that's irrelevant. Of course, the prosecution comes back and says it's not irrelevant because it's detailing how he committed the crime that he is accused of.
There was plenty of other testimony in this trial, including, you mentioned, Arkansas Supreme Court Justice Rhonda Wood. Anything else really stick out to you?
Well, Maggio tried to some degree to implicate Rhonda Wood in all this. The defense warned about that even before it came out. And indeed, in his own testimony, he was asked if, because many of his texts had been deleted from his phone, text with Gilbert Baker and so forth. And they said, did Rhonda Wood tell you, or they may have asked it more openly, you know, as in who told you to delete those texts? And he basically testified that Rhonda Wood had told him he should delete all the texts between him and either Gilbert Baker or herself. And he said that he did in turn delete them. Now, Wood had been, when she was on the stand, she was being asked about texts, but it got broken up and no one seemed quite clear what she had just said. And even the judge intervened and said he was getting confused, and they ended up recessing for the day and never went back to that line of questioning.
Well, obviously, this is a very complex case, a high-profile case that has been lasting for several years. Anything unique about the jury instructions Friday from U.S. District Judge Price Marshall before deliberations began?
Well, the judge reminded the jurors that two of the witnesses have been granted immunity from prosecution. Chris Stewart, who is the Little Rock lawyer Baker hired to create the PACs. I don't think anyone disputes that fact, although Chris Stewart did testify for the prosecution. Then he also said that Linda Lee Flanagan, who had worked for Baker's lobbying firm, LRM Consulted, that she had been granted immunity. I'm not quite sure how much that helped the prosecution because her testimony was actually very evasive. It was filled with things like, yes, no, I don't remember. She rarely would elaborate on much of anything, you know. But they did get quite a bit of information from Chris Stewart.
Juries can be unpredictable. Any guess how long deliberations will last? A lot to consider.
Yeah, and the fact that they've already deliberated this long makes, I think, clear that, you know, they're not in agreement, you know, and it may be more than just one person. Another factor that I had wondered about, the judge indicated they will have a mountain of documents from this case to review, as well as video and audio evidence. Now, they're not under instructions to go through every document, but I'm talking probably altogether, probably hundreds of pages. So if they get into a strenuous debate, that could stall them even more going through things like that.
If Gilbert Baker is convicted, what kind of prison time could he be looking at?
Well, in effect, he could end up spending, he's 64 years old, he could end up spending the rest of his life in prison. The judge ultimately will decide what to give him, and he could very well make it concurrent where he could serve all the time at one time. But even if he gets just, say, 20 years, that alone would put him 84 when he gets out. And in federal prisons, you don't get the probation things like you do locally.
That's reporter Deborah Hale Shelton, who has been covering the federal trial of Gilbert Baker for the Arkansas Nonprofit News Network. And again, jury deliberations continuing. Thanks, Deborah.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is KUAR 89.1.